In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, just like last week, we're given a set of instructions. How to interpret today's gospel. But unlike last week, where we were given something like a helpful map to pinpoint where we are and where we want to go, this week, I think it's kind of like an IKEA assemblage instruction. IKEA furniture, if you haven't had the privilege of spending half a day assembling a bedroom dresser that comes, it all comes disassembled with a set of pictorial instructions and a small little baggie of 1,000 little nuts and bolts. Somehow it's to come together. Sometimes the directions, somewhat like last week, are straightforward. And an hour later, you have exactly what you wanted. But sometimes, even if you follow the directions step by step very carefully, you end up with pieces left over that you know you shouldn't have left over. Maybe sometimes it's backwards. Or sometimes you just end up with a piece of furniture that looks nothing like the one in the store. For me, today's parable is one of those that just wouldn't work right the first time I heard it. It's one of those you have to squeeze, shake, and finesse to see how it's designed to fit together. When I was living in North Carolina, I used to have a large urban garden, so I'm familiar with them. But because I lived in an apartment in the city, I didn't really have any access to land, and all of my plants were in huge flower pots or raised flower beds. I had flowers, herbs, cucumbers, several varieties of tomatoes, and an occasional zucchini. Using flower beds and flower pots made it really easy to control what kind of soil would go in there. And if something went terribly wrong, if they had some type of infestation or disease, it was really easy to prevent it from coming back again by just cleaning the pots. But what surprised me, year after year, even having the control of what exactly goes in that pot, I would come home after a day of work, and I would notice this large sprout of crabgrass in my tomatoes. Now, I don't know if you know what crabgrass is. It's like this thick, hardy piece of grass that apparently gets into everything. It has shallow roots, but they tend to choke out plants if you're not careful with them. So, I, like the sower, careful to have fertile soil and to sow only the good seeds at night, the nasty crabgrass would get in there anyway. With a little tugging and a little pulling and a careful removal of all the root, my precious plants could be saved. So maybe this is where I begin to get a little confused with this parable. This is kind of like a misstep in the instruction booklet, it seems. I'm left with two questions. First, what makes these weeds special? Why can't you pull them out? I mean, you can with a crabgrass. With careful distinction of an eye, couldn't you tell the difference between a weed and a wheat? Secondly, where do they come from? How did it get in there? Why does it have to be in there in the first place? The first question only seems to be the one of the slaves. The sower, the disciples, and Jesus seem to be quite okay with the notion of leaving the weeds with the wheat until harvest. And as a city girl who grew up in the middle of tobacco country rather than wheat fields, it's not surprising that I would be the only one out of the loop here. Jesus must have known his weeds well. Scripture refers to this particular type of weed as a tares. It's a type of rye grass, and they look just like wheat until the very end, until the ear comes out. Only then can you tell it is actually a weed. So pulling it out too soon would risk pulling out the good with bad. Even a good discerning eye won't tell the difference. So the slave asks the master what to do, because there are different ways to deal with different types of weeds. The second question, why do they appear at all? When we're even talking about the kingdom of God, why are there weeds? Well, Jesus leaves us with a simple but unsettling answer. That's the way the world works. The only thing that is important to know is that the weeds happen, but they are not, weeds from good soil are not from God. So how does this parable relate to us? Who are the weeds? Who are the wheat? What are the weeds? What are the weeds in your life? I think it's quite easy to point out the weeds in our community and our lives. Greed, selfishness, hate. I think you can come up with some on your own. It's less easy to figure out how to deal with the weeds or to know how they got there in the first place. And just as the parable said, even if we cultivate a healthy community, like cultivating healthy soil, weeds will pop out seemingly out of nowhere. It's true within our own families. Even families built out of love will struggle with the pain of weeds. Carl Jung, a Jungian psychologist, probably would have taken this parable one step further. Instead of just pointing out different weeds in our community or even in our family, he probably would have pointed to the weeds within our own hearts. He believed that each inside of us, we had weeds growing. He referred to them as the unconscious shadow. This is the stuff inside of us we don't want to share with others. We don't even want to know about it. It often lives just below the surface unconscious. Jung believed that the only way we can work on this part of ourselves is to know the weeds, to acknowledge them, to learn about what types they are so that we know how to deal with them. Sometimes we'll need to pull them out from the roots. Sometimes we just need to watch them carefully as they grow to see if they're truly weeds or if they are wheat. And sometimes we need to take herbicide to them. Christ is calling us to know our weeds, to let the light shine on our shadow sides, to hold them out, to ask for healing, to help, to get the help we actually need. We live in a world where appearances are everything. Keeping a clean lawn, pressed clothing, a clean car, smiles on our faces. We want the world to believe everything is okay. No need to worry about us. No need to worry about me. And God's asking us not to play that game, to not pretend as well, to acknowledge the weeds around our feet so that we as a community or a family or an individual can deal with them as we need to. And truth be known, walking up to the 8 o'clock service, I was telling Sarah, I was like, wow, this sermon has been hard for me. I've been pounding at it. It's like chiseling out of wood rather than writing on paper. And I couldn't figure out why. Why is this sermon so hard for me? And Sarah said to me, she said to me right before we walked up to the 8 o'clock service and I had to change my entire sermon, she said to me that sometimes you just need to let it all hang out. Oh, God. And God's asking us not to play that game, to not pretend as well, to acknowledge the weeds around our feet so that we as a community or a family or an individual can deal with them as we need to. And truth be known, walking up to the 8 o'clock service, I was telling Sarah, I was like, wow, this sermon has been hard for me. I've been pounding at it. It's like chiseling out of wood rather than writing on paper. And I couldn't figure out why. Why is this sermon so hard for me? And Sarah said to me, she said to me right before we walked up to the 8 o'clock service and I had to change my entire sermon, She said to me that sometimes you just need to let it all hang out. Oh, gosh. No wonder this sermon's so hard for me. It's pointed at me. Here I am, so worried about getting to know you, for you to see the best side of me. That's it. Me and you. There's the weed. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about us and a Christian community. And that I just had to let go of my sermon. I had to say, okay, here it goes. I need to let it go. And I finally got it. I finally got that the point of this is so that we as a community can let it all hang out, weeds and all, and work with each other to figure out how to deal with those weeds. So where's the good news in all this? Here we are, a community, and we learned last week how to cultivate that good soil, you know? And the next parable is like, well, even if you have good soil, weeds are going to happen. Where's the good news in that? Well, I think the ending, what Jesus says at the end, the weeds will be gathered and the wheat will be gathered. I don't think he was talking about people. I think he was talking about the things in our own heart, that God only accepts and acknowledges the wheat. That we can come to God as who we are, weeds and all, and what will matter at the end is the wheat. Amen.